Basically, what we are going to focus on in this talk is about investing in digital assets. Where is it going to? Is it the ICO hype over? What's going to happen next? What can we do? So, and what probably the regular investment field can learn from ICO experience on evaluation of projects, all the due diligence tips and so forth, invest in new technologies, which is not always tangible. So, but first, I'd like you to present yourself and say a few words. How are you involved in the space? How are you related to investments and digital assets?
Hi.
Hello.
My name is Agadana Meri. I manage a company called iCapital, which is a subsidiary of a larger company called iAngels, based in Israel. iAngels is a VC investment platform. So traditionally, we invest in Israeli startups across several sectors, enterprise software, frontier technologies, fintech, and environmental technologies. And as part of our fintech activity, we made a few investments about 3-4 years ago in blockchain related companies. That's how we became more familiar with the space. Last year when the market took off, we noticed that we have on the one hand access to interesting deal flow, and on the other hand a network of accredited investors all over the world that are looking to diversify into the new asset class. So we started investing in the field as well, and late 2017, we also started an actively managed fund that invests in blockchain, whether it's tokens or equity. And we also have an online platform called iCapital, where investors can see what we invest in and co-invest with us in specific opportunities.
Mm-hmm. How many projects probably did you have?
We invested in about 20, 30.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, thank you for having me. My name is On Yavin. I am the founder and CEO of CoIntelligence. We conduct data research and analysis for the crypto economy. We've been fully focusing on ICOs and STOs, and we developed an impartial and professional rating system. We started recently to develop our exchanges rating system. We're launching it in late January 2019, and we're also calling out scammers. We identify scams and we're calling them out so investors will be aware of them and not spend their money on them. And the last thing that we do, we also publish on CoIntelligence professional content to educate and teach people that want to get into crypto, and also professional guides for more advanced people that are a part of our community.
Thank you. Like a sheriff of the space.
Hi, so I'm Carrie Bemaya. I'm an independent researcher. I've been involved in the blockchain space for 5-6 years now. Last year I published a book on macroeconomic effects of blockchain. And more recently, I worked with BNP Paribas to publish a report on crypto asset valuation and proposed a new way of thinking about how to do the valuation, because just as he mentioned, you know, we've seen a lot of the models that are out there and they're not really up to mark. So exploring that space and trying to figure out how do we need to go about building it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess we can start again with definitions, because then so that I understand what we are talking about. So what does it actually mean to invest in digital assets? And let's draw some lines between first security tokens and of course utility tokens, then between VC investment and token-based investment, and also between investing in project as like technology development project versus if you get a financial tool that you can trade. So who'd like to start?
Okay. So, first of all, when we look at the different type of tokens, obviously, it's a completely different game when you look at a utility token or a security token, for example. And from what we've seen in the last few months, we witnessed different types of hybrid models that will get you a company that does security and utility. For example, a company that will raise funds through a security token, and then they have a utility token for the ecosystem that they developed or created. And beside the difference between the tokens, which obviously leads you to different types of questions or different types of things that you need to consider, I would say that in general, utility tokens pretty much failed until now. There's only a few of them that are actually worth to be called utility tokens, and the rest of them just made up a nice story to justify the fact that they are utility tokens, but in fact they're just securities.
Can you set an example of what is a good utility token?
Well, you can just look at the indictments by the SEC from the last few months and you will be able to see that it's not just me saying it, it's the SEC claiming that a lot of the founders that claim that they are that they created the utility tokens are not really utility tokens, and they are applying the securities laws on these founders, and some of them are has already been indicted, and some of them have already agreed on terms with the SEC to get out of it. And it's not only relevant for the founders, by the way, it's also relevant for the people that supported them, for the influencers that helped them, for all kinds of service providers that are in risk at the moment because they help these founders to claim that they are utility tokens, but they're not. And the last thing that I would add is that you have the regulators are interested in regulating. I'm not speaking on behalf of them, and obviously it's not all of them, but from what we've seen, for example, in the UK, they are very pro crypto and they want to help the crypto community, but they are a bit lost to how to look at the different tokens. And we need to remember that if you're not a developer and you're not a coder and you're not a financial expert, when you look at the token planning, it's sometimes it can be so difficult to understand it. Then if you're not the company itself that really understand that, it will take you a long time to grasp it. And it's something that I think also caused the current situation that we have with the market. I might be able to discuss about that later in the panel, but I think that the regulations should find a way, the regulators should find a way to regulate utility tokens in a good way, in a pro crypto way, and not just call everything security and that's it because it's the most convenient way for them to handle it.
I think we should differentiate between a few things. So a utility token is a token that is meant to be used within an ecosystem or within an economy, and it can be a utility token, although while you're offering it to the public, it's considered a security, or is or needs to go through, or not considered a security, but needs to go through the process of public offering like a security token. The regulator in the United States made it very clear regarding Ethereum. They stated, or the SEC stated, that it's decentralized enough to be considered not a security. Having said that, when they just publicly offered it to the public, it needed theoretically to go through the process of offering a security. So I think the definitions need to be more more clear. And the question of a utility versus a security is mainly, at the end of the day, reliant on the decentralized nature of the asset. As long as it's truly decentralized and is open source and it's not reliant on any performance of any third party or a company or profits or revenues, it can be at the end of the day considered a utility. And the question, and from an investment perspective, that's a totally different question. The question is if a utility token is an investment vehicle in a project, and that's, as An mentioned before, we haven't seen that really work out. And I don't think we've seen models that are purely ICOs that have proven economic viability to create value with time. The premise of capped supply and growing network has not really proven itself, primarily due to issues with velocity. And as long as it's just a medium of exchange, it keeps getting back into the network, and value does not is not being created. But we, same as you said, we do see hybrid models, interesting hybrid models, not necessarily of security and utility tokens, even of equity and tokens. So we recently invested in a company called Space Mesh. We invested in its equity, but they're building a permissionless blockchain, which should be open source protocol. So there is no IP, and theoretically, once it goes out and out of the control of the company, there is no equity value. And what investors are supposed to at the end of the day enjoy, the upside comes from rewards of the network in a form of a token. So I think at the current situation is that ICOs or utility tokens have not proven themselves and maybe created some damage in reputation primarily, but we will see novel models and disruptive models to that also in the future that might prove themselves better.
Okay, just one question to clarify. Yes. You just recently made this investment, yeah? So by purchasing the tokens, right? So do you look at it as kind of
Which investment? The recent one?
Yeah, the recent one.
No, we invested equity.
You invested equity. Okay, so it's different type. Okay, thank you.
I'll just add on a little bit from a valuation perspective, how this affects us. When you're looking at utility tokens, security tokens are a bit more easier because it's got like something, an asset which can be attached to it, so the valuation becomes a lot easier. But if you're looking at a utility token, especially a company that's written a white paper, that's essentially a business plan. And now you're investing it based on that, and you don't really know how it's going to work out. Bear in mind that when WhatsApp was actually launched, before it got that hockey stick curve that we see very often, it still took 3 years. And people were still using SMS texting for 10 years before that. So just because you create a utility token and it's supposed to kind of change the way that something's going to work, you still have to go through the customer adoption cycle. You've still got that stickiness effect. You don't really know whether it's going to, that switching cost from a traditional solution to something that's a bit more token-based. Maybe people are not going to use it, even if the tech is good. And this has happened a lot of times. So this is something which we've tried to kind of address when we say that if you're going to do a valuation model, it needs to be based on empirical data, right? So we do have that in stock valuation models. If you're trying to do it for tokens, we're still waiting on the data. And I think 2019, 2020 is going to be that time, because you'll see a lot of these things come out. How many ICOs have we had till now? I don't know, 2,000, 3,000? I don't know how much is out there. Yeah, even more, okay. Even if like 1% of that, you know, kicks off, that's actually pretty good. But at the same time, it comes with all these considerations which people are not taking into consideration right now. And that hype that has happened, like you mentioned, it's created more damage than good. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to what happens in the next couple of years, though.
But do you think the ICO hype is over? That's the kind of the question that you need to answer during the panel.
I think it's starting to become like there's finally a grown-up in the room. Because in 2017, when this ICO thing started, you know, everyone was jumping into it. And initially, I was very happy as well, because you have this exuberance that for 3-4 years you've been kind of standing up and shouting and saying, look at this tech. And now everyone, you know, you can't meet someone who doesn't know about ICOs or who hasn't invested in tokens. But at the same time, most people didn't know what they were actually getting into. So that's the reason why you had that huge spike in price. And when it started to come down, a lot of people asked me, is the market crashing? I said, no, it's just going to correction, because finally people have kind of figured out, oh shit, I invested in this thing, but now the product's going to come out in 2 years. How much am I going to trade on these platforms? And you've got pump and dump schemes, you've got like massive speculation going on, which was the reason I worked in token valuation. I said, let's figure out how we need to analyze this, because this technology was supposed to allow for democratized investing. You could be anywhere in the world, and if you thought this was a good technology and you didn't have, I don't know, 20,000 or 50,000 euros lying around, you could even put like a little bit and you could participate in it. But if you're going to do investing, do it the right way. Do your homework, figure out how you need to do this. And most people didn't do that. So if you've lost money and you've done these kind of decisions, I think you kind of deserved it. And that's why I think it's not that the hype is, it was a hype for sure, but it's undergoing a correction right now. People are starting to get more mature about it. They think, okay, fine, what do we need to take into consideration? How are we going to analyze this stuff? And what we're seeing right now, just as she mentioned, is a transformation. So I don't think it's going to be the same ICO ambiance in the next year. You're going to have more and more hybrid models. You're going to get people who realize that if a technology is complicated, then the solution should be simple, and that the two of them need to evolve simultaneously. So I think that's what's happening right now, or I think that's what's going to happen pretty soon.
Do you think that the investment behavior is also going to be very different? Like, I mean, those who hold tokens and they want to invest them, because, well, 2016, yeah, like, was the time when they were accumulating their assets, right? And so there were lots of, like, free money that they could just invest. And then there are so many, supply for these demands. But now it's kind of going vice versa, right? So the investments assets are kind of dropping, and then investors become kind of wiser and more cautious, like where to give what projects to give priority, and so what to expect if I kind of make this investment, what do I get? So do you think that the investment behavior will change as well?
I'll probably just start off with that. It's true that the way that people are investing is changing. In October 2018, Autonomous Next published a report in which they showed that the amount of money that's going to blockchain projects right now, 50% is coming from VCs, the handshake deals, the behind closed doors, and you know they're happening over there. I'm sure the VCs have got their magic sauce and try to figure out whether this is a good project or not. But I think that's how the tendency is kind of starting to change right now. This is all signs of that sense of maturity. I'm not in accordance with it, but I think that's one way that we're seeing this change in the way the money's getting inside into these kind of projects.
So the answer for me, it's divided into a few parts. First, to your question about the model of investments, absolutely. I mean, until now, we've seen investor investing in tokens. And I'm not saying that we will not get back to this situation. And in general, I think that the hype is completely over, and no doubt about that. But I think that we are going to see ICOs. It's not just going to be STOs. I do think that 2019 is going to be the year of STOs, but I absolutely believe that ICOs are here to stay in different types of models. And the first part is, when you had investors investing in tokens, it was very ridiculous in our opinion. Through the whole last year, for example, 2018, because you have a few reasons for that. One, obviously, you know, and I have experience as an angel investor for 10 years, for almost 10 years. And as an investor, if I go and check a company and the company says, okay, invest and buy my tokens, but you have no say in anything, you don't get equity, you don't have any, I'm not even talking about control, I'm talking about having any kind of a saying, and transparency, it's ridiculous. I mean, and that's why we've seen so many cases of founders taking money, and that's it. They take care of themselves for life, and they don't care about anyone else. They don't care about the investors. They just go and have their fun now, and that's it. They're not even trying to build a company, because why do they need to? They already got millions in the bank. That's the first part. The second part is that you've had all kinds of founders that I would say they have a lot of nerve to create a white paper. Some of them didn't even take the effort of creating a proper white paper, because a part of what we do when we identify scams, we check the white paper for duplicated content. So what they did is just copy whole parts of their white paper from others. Actually, a few days ago, I met a founder that said that he wrote the white paper, and as soon as he told me that he wrote the white paper, I told him, but you have at least 20 pages that are copied from other places. You didn't even do the citations right. I mean, it's so ridiculous. So you had a couple of founders with a white paper. Sometimes the white paper was very good, sometimes the white paper was awful, and they raised money. They raised millions, over millions, over millions, without having anything, anything at all. And you see, even now you see projects are doing it. I mean, they didn't understand that it's over and that they're still trying. Now, that's the second part of the of my answer. The third part is that I think that the ICOs will change dramatically when it comes to MVPs. If you will not have an MVP, you will not be able to do an ICO, period. No one will trust you to make up all these, to create this dream if you didn't even prove something that you can do. And at the beginning of this year, we predicted actually that the market will crash completely at the end of the year. I was saying it to everyone. Just to make a point, I'm very, very pro crypto and blockchain, and I dedicate my life to crypto and blockchain. Sometimes I talk about it in such a negative way that people think that I'm against it or something. So I'm all about it, and I think it's the biggest revolution that we ever had, and I think it's gonna change and already changing many lives. But the thing is that you cannot just give all kind of false promises and promise the moon. I've seen people saying that they're going to land blockchain on the moon. Seriously, a project that actually raised funds for crap like that. Sorry, but that's the truth. And we knew that most of them will fail at the first milestone. And that's what we've seen happening in the last few months with other factors that we might be able to discuss later, like regulation and so on. But these are the cases that made crypto winter as it is now. It's not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons. Mm-hmm. And as Agada mentioned, it made a lot of damage. It caused a lot of damage to us, to the crypto community, because people are looking from the outside. I hear people calling crypto as a whole a Ponzi scheme, and the reason is that. That's the reason. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's completely wrong in my opinion.
I don't remember the question by now, but kidding. You asked how we see this changing and the maturity in the industry and how the investment landscape is changing. So I think crypto winter brings with it some positive things. I think it weeded out a lot of the scammy projects or projects that are that in 2017 people would have thrown money at them, and today they have no chance in raising any funds. I think I think the hype drew a lot of really multidisciplinary talent into the industry. I think people paid attention and found it interesting. So there is an abundance of talented people in the space now that are working on real projects and you know, building real products. And you see the retail investors going out of the or went out of the industry or the investing landscape. You see less and less retail investors, and you see more and more VCs coming in from the largest VCs around the world to new VCs that are coming out to invest in this space. Mm-hmm. So that in turn causes, as there is less capital or less available capital, but more professional capital coming in. Mm-hmm. You see projects that are raising in more reasonable valuations, smaller rounds or smaller caps, and investors have the time and the resources to do proper due diligence on these projects, do background checks on the founders, look at the token economics if it's token, or the equity thesis if it's equity, check the technology. Back in 2017, there were projects that there was so much FOMO around that if you didn't make a decision within 2 days, you were out of the deal. And these deals did, you know, 100x. So you really did. We work like a VC. Right, we come from a VC approach. We wanted to do a proper due diligence. We wanted to look at the team and so on. And we missed a bunch of you know, a lot of deals just given the fact that we couldn't, you know, send money over without even talking to a single person in the team. So that's not happening anymore. Mm-hmm. The ICO hype is definitely, I agree with you, dead, and I don't think it's ever coming back. Definitely not in the way that it was in 2017 and early 2018. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll see more interesting models, even if when ICOs come back, or if they come back, we're gonna see investors maybe dictating terms to the raise. Mm-hmm. Maybe smart contracts will be implemented to release funds on a gradual basis based on achieving milestones or various novel ideas of this sort. Mm-hmm.
Just to add up a little bit on that from an analysis perspective, we actually looked at around 50 ICO white papers. Mm-hmm. More specifically, we looked at the code of the smart contract. Mm-hmm. And we found that a lot of them, I'd say easy 50%, half of them, like if you're looking at the supply side of the code, especially the vesting rules, the burning rules, those kinds of things, either they went and stayed on the white paper, or they were stayed on the white paper that they were not coded, or they were coded wrong. And we worked along with the guys from ETH Zurich, so there's chain security. They've created a platform for automated smart contract auditing, and heard piles and piles of horror stories. And I think this is what the reason why, you know, if you're going to start making investments in this, you need to start building different kinds of models. A security token is not a utility token, is not a whatever X token. So you can't use some kind of simplistic model in which you just put the same kind of data and it crashes out an output. That's my opinion on it. And you need to start looking at, as she mentioned, you know, the salient features of the team, et cetera, the fundamental stuff. And then as per the type of token that you're dealing with, you need to cherry pick the right variables and then build your valuation model on that. Something that we are kind of addressing as a modular valuation methodology. And I think this is what needs to be done. And I'm hoping that people like VCs, I know it's your secret sauce, this is how you make your bread and butter, but this is supposed to be a peer-to-peer decentralized community and a technology. This kind of information needs to be shared out there, because otherwise it's just going to lead to more and more losses. It's going to lead to less confidence in this technology. And I don't think any one of us wants that, right?
Okay.
I just want to add to that just quickly. I totally agree with you that we need to share. We're a VC, but we have a platform where we actually share our thesis, our due diligence, our analysis, and we explain to our investor community why we thought this was a good investment. If it's token, we explain the token economics. If it's equity, we explain. So yeah, I agree with you. It should be decentralized, and sharing is caring.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think that's the end of the discussion, right? But thank you so much for the very profound insights.
Thank you.
Thank you.